You are listening to Fear, an Energy Guide.
Hi everybody, welcome to Fear, an Energy Guide. As the years have gone on, I've come to understand a little more how I work. And so to introduce you to it, this MP3 is not going to be a list of scientific facts and figures. My role when I speak about energy is to show up and speak to each of you listening. So even with a pre-record like this, I'm speaking to you right now. I'm aware of your presence on the other side of this microphone, even though it's in the future. So I've researched several areas of fear, both personally, and had a look at some of the facts and data about how we respond to fear as human beings. But I feel called to invite you to experience this as a shamanic journey with me. I'm not going to recount facts and figures to you. That kind of stuff is all there if you want to research it. Instead, what I'm going to do is walk you through fear as an energy, and there is going to be a channel in this recording as well, which is always a kind of shamanic journey because the energy of a channel is as important, if not more important, than the words involved usually. But the same with my talk. I'm going to speak to you as if we're on a journey, and I will be aware of where to go at each twist and turn. So if you zone out on some of the sentences or some of the words at times, that's fine. But I would give yourself to this as if you were taking a guided journey, with my words being the guide or the leader at times, but possibly opening you into doorways in your own consciousness, your own memory banks, and your own future understanding that will allow you to, through focusing this time with me on fear, open more to no longer feel a prisoner of fear, but instead to understand the nature of it, how it moves through you, and how you can not have it be a block to your future life and future prosperity. I hope you enjoy. Much love, everyone.
Hello and welcome to Fear, an Energy Guide. The very title of this audio recording is one of those titles that I'm aware will bring all sorts of reactions in people. Even the word fear can make us afraid. Fear is very intrinsic in our human society. And what many therapists, scientists, healers will talk about is that whenever you're dealing with any issue in your life that you're stuck on or challenged by, fear is often a part of it. You will have heard the phrase, "Will you choose fear or will you choose love?" It echoes around our world from many different voices in many different ways. And it's true that the energy scale can be seen this way. You can see fear as the lowest paradigm and love as the highest or the most open paradigm. Of course, it's always more complicated than a one-line sentence, for a few reasons. The world is very multidimensional, and there is a lot going on the planet, and the universe has many experiences to offer us. Secondly, we're individuals, so even though we are connected and we all share in the energy of fear, we may interpret fear differently, or we may have specific experiences in our past or our present that make us react to fear in a way that's different to the person standing next to us. While in Europe recently, I was working, and in the evening, those of us working together decided to take a break by going to the cinema, the movie theatre. We went to see a movie called The Conjuring, which is based on the real-life story of two of America's most famous ghost hunters and exorcists who were taken to their most challenging job ever, a house that had been haunted by a woman who had murdered her own children and put a curse on all children who follow through that house. Whether or not this is your belief, it was a very good movie. It was very intense, and the whole energy of the movie was a slow-build thriller that got you more and more nervous about what might be hiding in the closet the more the movie went on. I don't normally go and see films like this, and so it was a very interesting experience to surrender to the experience of this film, which we all felt we needed to go and see, and to watch the fear move through my own body as different stimuli from the film made me or encouraged me to be afraid. So number one, there was the music, and the music is often hidden to people. As a musician and as someone who's always had a music channel open, I was very aware of the music in the movie and what a job it was doing to get me scared. Then, as the reveal happened and you started to see images of this ghost that was haunting and also physically hurting people in the house, there was a pivotal moment for me when, during a scene, one human character was being followed by the ghost and she was terrified. Most of the auditorium was terrified. The film was telling us to be terrified with its music, its lighting, and the way that it was constructing this image for us. And as this ghost was approaching it, and it's not a pretty ghost either, it's not an attractive look that the ghost has, I was very aware that my own fear had gone through the roof. And in noticing my fear had gone through the roof, I invited myself to analyze what was going on. So I came back into my awareness, I recognized I was afraid, I recognized that I was supposed to be afraid, that was what we'd all agreed to, me and the filmmakers. And then I suddenly logically asked myself why I was afraid. I realized I was identifying with the human character who was about to potentially be murdered by the ghost. And when I put myself in a different mind frame about this whole scenario, and I realized if I was that human character, I could be as scared as she was, or in that moment, if it looks like I'm a goner, I could surrender. And I could surrender to my death at the hands of this spectre. And in that moment, all of my fear went away. This was interesting because the scene carried on and the character did actually survive. But for me, it was a true showing of how the mind perpetuates the fear that the body naturally produces. If you look at fear as a scientific examination, if you research it, there are many different ways of describing fear according to all the sources, but a commonality is that fear is an instinctive response that we have when we believe we are in danger or about to be in danger. The body produces an adrenaline, the heart beats faster, the muscles change, and at that moment we have a choice to respond to the body's instinct. Because we're a very mind-based society, we have often compartmentalized our fear off into thoughts. And many of you will have repetitive fears and repetitive thoughts. So, for example, do you have a constant fear in your life of what might happen to you in the future or in the now? The question to ask yourself is, does that come from your history, in which case it's trauma? There is something still trapped or lodged in your body that remembers what happened the last time you either had a very difficult circumstance, and it's asking you to avoid that in the future by constantly replaying it for you. Trauma is when fear gets historically lodged in the body. So, for example, many people are traumatized about having someone break up with them if they've gone through a very painful divorce or a very painful breakup. And the trauma can show up as pockets of fear when that person starts moving towards new relationship. So, this person moves towards new relationship, and the mind might tell them things such as, don't get involved, it's not safe, you're not safe. All of the thoughts that you had after the relationship collapsed will then get turned into warnings for the future. So if the breakup was sudden and you didn't see it coming, you might have kicked yourself for months and told yourself, why didn't I see that coming? Why didn't I stop it happening? And the repetition of those statements embed in your memory. And when you next feel fear that you are walking towards a scenario again that potentially could leave you, let's say, broken up with or dumped or rejected, depending on your language, then the trauma in your body starts to activate because it senses the same scenario coming near. And once the trauma has activated, the mind tries to help you calm down and avoid further trauma. So the mind starts saying, don't go further, don't go further, don't go further. That's essentially what we're dealing with the mind and fear. And I imagine those of you listening to this recording, you probably have some unanswered jigsaw pieces around fear itself and the experience of fear, otherwise you wouldn't have been drawn to this. Some people are very good at just purely working with their fear in a bodily way. So, for example, many people, if they feel fear, will turn to their breath, which is wonderful because you start to regulate the heartbeat once more. So, if ever you are feeling afraid, it's a good thing to know that you can just take some breaths, sit quietly. Sitting quietly is good because it removes you from any stimuli that might have just encouraged you into a fear state, but also breathing allows you to remember the space within. So just try it with me for a second. Just allow yourself to sit still, and you may want to put both hands on your belly to help you connect with the belly and the body, and then just slowly breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth, gently and at your own comfort level. But you do this over and over for a few minutes at least, and it starts to give the body a different current. It starts to let the body open again. It starts to let the adrenaline calm. So I've spoken about fear in general. I've spoken about trauma from the past that replays. The other one is anxiety. Some of you might be coming to this recording looking for solutions or light bulb moments around anxiety. Anxiety is when fear has become lodged in the body and the body does not know how to transmute it. So if you have anxiety, one of the fastest bodily solutions you are going to find is a breathing exercise. But for some people, the breathing exercises, for example, I just gave a very simple one, but you can research more in-depth breathing exercises online if that feels true to you. But even just what I gave, the conscious act of sitting for 5 minutes a day or 10 minutes a day and just letting yourself breathe, not worrying about what your mind does, because your mind might have several thoughts, or a little like when you start to meditate, you might notice that your mind is very active. Breathing consciously is very like meditation. And so if you've never tried it, I really invite you to do that as part of this recording's experience. Just for 5 minutes to sit quietly. You may want music on in the background, but I would suggest if you do have music, you have instrumental, so there are no human words or stories being told to you. Even if it's positive, it's just good to have instrumental music when you're trying to come back to yourself in a centered way in this kind of exercise. But anxiety is when loops of fear get stuck in your system or stuck in your psyche and stuck in your consciousness. So the breathing exercise might be one way of tackling that. Physical movement for people with anxiety is often a very good way of helping the energy redirect itself. So if you're someone who stays at home a lot and isn't very physical, and you notice you have lots of patterns of fear or anxiety running, it would be very good for you to try a physical regime. Now the word regime, as I say it, I can imagine for some of you will be anathema, because many of you won't want to be living by rules or discipline anymore. And that might be wonderful in the rest of your life, but if you have a repetitive pattern like anxiety, it's often repetitive action that will be the thing that will help it to break down. The repetition needs an equal match. So, for example, repetitive anxiety will become diluted when it is matched with repetitive exercise or repetitive meditation. It's not that you'll have to do that for the rest of your life. It's just that while you go through the months or the weeks involved in this repetition, you will then clear a way for your body to start to repattern itself. You see, fear is really simply an energy. We tend to think of fear as thoughts because the thoughts and the brain start organizing as soon as they feel the energy. So when we're more disconnected from our energetics, or we're less focused on what's going on inside us because we're busy in our heads communicating with other people or distracted by things that are being shown to us or we're hearing, it's a lot more disconnected for us to remember that something inside us is what began this tsunami of thought. And if we can quickly address this by dealing with the body first, the body will calm down. The thoughts will slow down. The thoughts will start to become more spacious. You will start to feel more space inside you. So, there are many, many, many methods for dealing with fear and anxiety, and you will find one that will fit you perfectly if you go looking. But I would ask you, in this recording with me, to just try this very simple 5 minutes worth of breathing. So what we will do now is play some music so that you can take 5 minutes to sit with your own stomach, with any fear that you might have right now, because even coming to this recording brings fear up for you, because you're aware that you're about to look at and move through fear as an identity and an energy in your life. Or if you feel calm, just take the 5 minutes to do the breathing in a calm way. It will be good for you to get even calmer as we go further. So here is the music. Remember, in through the nose, out through the mouth, very gentle. Very gentle, over and over for 5 minutes, and I will see you afterwards.
Thank you.
So, just notice, now you have breathed for 5 minutes, how do you feel and how different is how you feel to how you felt before you started? Most of you will have noticed an openness. Some of you may have noticed your anxiety has risen a little because you gave yourself space in your body that your body has responded to by saying, great, there's some space, I've got a lot of fear and a lot of anxiety I need to get rid of. It's quite common that anxious people can be afraid of losing the anxiety. That may sound ironic because most of them would say, if only I could live without this anxiety. But the truth is, for some people, like an addiction or like a repetitive energy that shows up in your life, you can be afraid to lose a part of what has become your identity. Now, this isn't necessarily something you will be able to sit there and mentally agree with, but ask yourself, does that ring true for you? Can you identify some part of you that has got used to living with a certain amount of fear? And your fear of the unknown is what stops you being fully willing to let it go and live without it. The empathic among you will have a strange relationship with fear, because you empaths are the people who feel and sense the emotions and the energies of a room or a group in a way that most people who aren't as empathic experience. So, because society has so much fear within it, and at this time still, most people are unconscious of their fear. Because of that, empaths will have a strange relationship with fear because they will be experiencing it regularly wherever they go, even if they themselves are fairly clear. To explain, think of an example where somebody has been speaking to you in your life and you can tell they're disconnected from what they're feeling. So they might be speaking to you very fixatedly on a topic that really should have no fear in it. So for example, they might be talking to you about the latest technological development that they're enjoying online, and it's something they engage with every day and they find it interesting. The empathic among you will struggle with these conversations if it is evident that while the person is speaking from a very clear mind, their body is full of adrenaline and anxious. It's very common that people who have a lot of fear or a lot of anxiety will be obsessive in their mind. OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, is often driven by a certain level of adrenaline and anxiety that is underlying the person's whole day. This is why the body becomes so important. Learning to meditate, learning to focus on breathing, learning to do physical activity that enhances you and stretches you. So, for example, if you don't consider yourself a gymnast, it might be interesting for you to try something like gymnastics, just so you do something different that you didn't expect of yourself. When dealing with repetitive patterns, replacing the repetitive pattern with a repetitive pattern of your own making that's new to you not only allows the anxiety and fear to start to dilute, but also gives your mind an opportunity to see that different is possible. Different from what you expected or anticipated is possible. So those who are very empathic will already be aware of the fear in society. But those of you who aren't, just start to notice that a little more. If you're honest with yourself, many people in society are very, very afraid. I know for myself the times when I am afraid, and I experience those and I'm aware of those. But I also notice how many people don't notice that they're afraid, and they let their unconscious thoughts run the show. This is why talking to somebody when they're disconnected from how much fear they have in their body, even if in their mind they think they're talking about a topic in a very clear way, can be very distracting to listen to, because there is a disconnect going on between their head and their body. Really, what they should say to you is, I am afraid right now. I am feeling and noticing fear in my body right now. Now, if they were to do that, it would very quickly dissolve for them anyway, and we would be living in a very different world. But the reason for bringing this up about other people is, how do you work with the fear virus as it spreads around the world? For it does spread fast, like a virus. Think of everything that people might be afraid of in life. Money, sex, death, relationships, intimacy, safety, security, success, failure, traveling, not traveling. There are all sorts of fears, and everyone is very different. The person who loves bungee jumping is a shock to everyone in the room that he's telling about it, who would just be terrified. So you see, there are certain specific fears that are common. Most people on Earth still fear the idea of death. Virtually all people fear the idea of losing a loved one. That's actually even stronger than personal death, because grief and loss are very feared on Earth, the idea of grief and loss. And the problem with fear is it just becomes a barrier to forward movement unless you start to recognize it's one of the energies on our planet and you can work with and transmute it through your system. Sometimes it's personal, sometimes it's other people. It's important to know the difference. So start to pay attention to your fear and backtrack what happened when you became afraid. So my example in the movie theater was obvious to me. I was sitting in a scenario that was designed to help everyone in the audience visit their fear. But what if I've just left a conference with five people to do with work? And I come away and I notice I'm a little off balance. I notice I'm a little afraid. Is my fear caused by what just came up in the meeting and what the meeting was asking of me in the future that maybe is a little scary to me? Or did I just feel and pick up on the fear of the others in that meeting? This is very important in these years, 2013 to 2020, because fear is going to be enormous on Earth at times in this period. And I say that not to make you afraid of reality, but notice if the sentence I just gave you made you start to panic and wonder what that could be, notice how your mind took the idea that there could be fear and it immediately wanted to know what it wanted to look out for. So for example, some of you might have said, does he mean there are going to be more disasters? Does he mean that people are going to lose their freedom? Anything that you think might happen in a negative way, you will try on as a true scenario when fear rises. So what I'm asking you to do when that happens, when you notice you're afraid, is to immediately come back to the body, step away from the mind. For future purposes, replay what just happened and what you just went through. It may be crystal clear to you that you just met somebody from your past who reminded you of a friend of yours that you hadn't seen for many years, and maybe you and that friend had a difficult falling out, and so some fear arose in you because you went back to the place of that uncomfortable moment with your friend. If you notice this, use your words and your energy direction to change things. So for example, you might say, I release any pain or judgment I am holding from my friend and I falling out. Something along those lines, you can make it up yourself, but also just sitting with your hands on your body, stomach or other parts of the body, the chest, wherever you feel you want to put it, and then breathe. Just breathe. It will help you come back to the center of yourself where there is no stimulus that you are concerned about. Past replay of events where fear was involved is how we tend to fragment fear in our system. If we were unable to easily or gracefully overcome a situation in our life or a relationship in our life, and there was some fear left of having to go through that kind of thing again, then we tend to fragment the fear off into our energy field and keep pockets of it there for future reference, so that, as I said earlier, when you come back into the same environment or the potential same scenario, that fragmented fear will activate in you. A great way to get rid of past fear and invite that fear to reintegrate as pure energy in your body and to no longer be a fragmented energy that is showing up as fear is to use this affirmation. I see, I forgive, I release, I trust, I open. I see, I forgive, I release, I trust, I open. Fear that's to do with past history will always involve past beliefs. So if you are haunted by something that happened in the past, this would be a great time to stop the recording and to give yourself a moment to just sit with it and do the breathing exercise and use the affirmation, I see, I forgive, I release, I trust, I open. This will help to create a spaciousness in you that was not there before. What's important to understand is as fear releases, excitement, joy, and opening follow. I've given the example before in another recording of children who are excited to go to a birthday party. They're very excited to go to a birthday party all week long, and then the day that their mom is taking them to the birthday party, they arrive at the birthday party and they are terrified, and all of a sudden their exuberance displayed around the house about the party they were going to has died down, and they've contracted. They've become shy because now they have to meet the event they were excited about. They have to be part of it. They have to open to it, and they meet all of these kids that they don't know and that they're not sure about. So this is a common principle for us. Contraction before expansion. It's the same as in-breath, out-breath, digest food, release food. It's the same principle that we experience in all sides of life. So fear does happen in a very natural way for all of us, and it's important to remember that. It's just a rise in adrenaline. The difference is, how far do you let the adrenaline go? How many compartments in you that are unreleased from the past are still active, which make your fear more of a mighty challenge to move through than they would be if you had cleared much of your past fear. This is tricky to do on a personal level unless you are willing to go and visit any emotional place in yourself. So, for example, if you were to have a great, great fear of something that could happen in the future, one of the things you can do is visit that scenario in your consciousness or your imagination. Play it out. Invite yourself and your body to, for a second, believe that that could happen. The body will respond in kind. It will show you. The body is a navigation system, and we forget this. The body is very aware of the timelines that we're living in, even if our human consciousness has forgotten that the body is a direct link to the soul, and the soul understands what it needs to do in any given moment, even if our human training has made us a lot smaller than the soul's capacity. So take a moment to think about that. What are you most afraid of, and does it even scare you to sit there for 5 minutes and try it on for size? That in itself is an indicator for you that it's vital you do this. It's important you give yourself to this 5 minutes of visiting your worst fear for a while, and see if you can breathe your way through it and see what thoughts you can find that are illusions. The power of our energy is immense. We as energy systems can do and create so much on the planet in our lifetime. Yet when fear becomes the dominant energy, or in a moment of your experience becomes the dominant energy, you will recoil, step back, shrink back, or want to run. What I'm inviting you to do in this recording, throughout this recording, is to investigate that response. You may not be able to solve that response overnight. Your past trauma may take a year or two to kind of work through, and this is, as I see it, a healthy thing, because trauma is something that has been embedded in you. So if you do need to take a full year to help your body release its trauma, that's you loving yourself and healing yourself. So don't get down on yourself about how long these things take. More celebrate yourself for walking towards them. Because many people leave their fears uninvestigated. Many people choose to have responses that will help them avoid what they fear, help them circumnavigate what they fear. But the problem is, fear as an energy, if it becomes dominant in your life, or more dominant than is appropriate for your life balance, starts to show up destructively or limit what's possible for you in life. So in inviting you to see beyond the fear of your own circumstances or soul history, you also invite yourself to allow the world to be free of fear at new levels. If you think of some of the most enlightened, heartfelt people you have ever met, you don't tend to experience a great deal of fear in their presence, and that's because they are not experiencing a great deal of fear in their presence. And do not be deceived. I assure you that 98% of those people, if not 100% of those people, can tell you stories of when they visited their fear, their darkness. It was very important for them, because in visiting it, they learnt how to be with it and move with it, and not be the prisoner of it, but instead be the witness. So I'm going to now guide you through a brief exercise to re-alchemize the energy of fear in your body. The purpose of this exercise is to invite you in the now, today, and in the future to allow the energy of fear that might move through your body to feel safe enough to lead its way into other territory for you. So instead of stopping you, or instead of holding in compartments of energy in your energy field, we're going to invite fear to see itself as a free energy that can move through you and not just stop you or recoil you. If your mind starts to get scared at the idea that we're doing this, you just need to focus on breathing, and as with anything I or anyone else does or offers in the field of self-development or teaching or self-mastery, it must always be comfortable for you. So if you don't like the idea of this exercise right now, wait until another time. But for everyone who is ready and willing, let's begin. Make sure you're sitting or lying down comfortably, and I invite you to notice the music that we are now playing in the background, and just breathe. And firstly, I want you to thank your fear for all of the time that your fear kept you safe. You're thanking your fear for all of the times that your fear kept you safe or alerted you to something that you needed to know. So all of the positive times. And you probably won't recall these consciously, most of you. But the gratitude is important, because the fear is a nervous system response that happens sometimes for very good reason, to tell us to change course or to slow down. So thank your fear for all of the times it has served you. And now, ask yourself to see if you can intuitively sense how much fear you are living with on a daily basis. Some of you may choose to put a number on this, you may wish to know, what percentage of your daily life are you dealing with fear? Maybe you'll hear 20%, maybe you'll hear 80%, but ask your intuition to give you a number. If you aren't a numbers person, you might want to create an imaginary vision. See if you can imagine how much fear is in your body visually, or feel it. Get a sense of it. It doesn't have to have a number or a grade. But just become aware of how much fear you are living with on a daily basis. And now be aware that at least 50% of that fear, if not more in many of your cases, at least 50% of the fear that you are seeing, sensing, or aware of is societal. This means that a lot of the fear that you are dealing with and carrying is fear that you have aligned with other people. So, to give you an example, a parent who is trying to help its child be safe in the world will sometimes have fear when they ask a child not to do something. If they see a child that's young walking towards the edge of a pond, they might suddenly have a fear reaction. The child is going to go into the pond and the parent's too far away to stop it, and shout at the child, "Stop, stop." The fear that is in the energy of the "stop, stop" is what the child hears and feels even more than the word "stop." Though depending on how the child either shakes that off or ingests it, the child has started a pattern with societal fear about being bold and running towards something that the child wanted to run towards. So it's a simple example I give you, but it shows you how the energy scale works. So you may be at work on any given day, and the most fearful person in the office, who's always telling negative doom stories, comes over to you and starts talking to you, and you may already have a physical reaction to that person because the levels of fear they're holding are dense, and they want you to join in them. They want to invite you to be as afraid as they are, and you don't want to. So understand, this is the societal fear and how it works. So now say, I allow myself to release societal fear. I allow myself to release societal fear. And as you do that, you might feel it moving out of your body. You might feel your body just opening more. You may notice some resistance because of relationships in your life that have a lot of fear in them. If you notice resistance, don't worry. The exercise is energetic, so any details that need to be taken care of will be taken care of afterward. For now, just focus on the energetics of the exercise. And now, allow yourself to say, I alchemize my fear into excitement and openness. I alchemize my fear into excitement and openness. Excitement and openness follow fear once fear breaks through. So if you can already give your body the permission to faster alchemize through fear and take it from a low vibration into a higher vibration, your body will start to do this. The body gets trained into patterns, and by doing these soul-based exercises, you allow your soul to start leading again rather than the human that has been in charge. Finally, I open to joy and expansion in my life. I open to joy and expansion in my life. These words are the direct opposite of fear's arrival. So saying I open to joy and expansion in my life consciously should allow you to feel an energy movement through the body that may make some of you nervous and will make most of you just excited. But just allow yourself to say it. I open to joy and expansion in my life. Being open to joy and expansion means fear does not hang around very long. You see, when there is an openness to lift, fear can transmute. When there is a collapse in your energy body or your thoughts about what's possible or limits that you're thinking are true, then fear gets stuck and can't go anywhere. So I open to joy and expansion in my life is the final sentence for you to say. Good. So now I'm going to channel and see what the Z's can offer us about fear and how it affects us. So I will hand over to them and I will see you again at the end.
Fear is an illusion. This is a sentence many of you are familiar with. You will have heard it before. But it is not an illusion to your mind when your mind is convincing you it is the truth. The mind takes this energy of fear and tries to outthink or outwit the fear that is rising in you because there is a hesitation in your body as to whether or not you can move through this energy experience you are having. To have fear as a human being is to be sensing opportunity. You are sensing an opportunity at a soul level for a breakthrough in experience as a human being. The human that has had its heart broken or its finger cut when it has fallen over is reluctant to go through these almighty shakedowns of the human identity. But you see, as much as many of you believe you are controlling your lives from your mind's capacity to progress, it is the opposite way round. The mind is simply reporting back to you and responding as to what is occurring energetically all of the time. The mind is always on a few second delay. Think satellite conversations between countries on your planet. You are often a few seconds delayed because of the time it takes to both send the information and for you to receive it in your time. So understand it is the same here where fear is concerned. The only truth for you to glean around fear, if you are in a situation where fear is present and you would rather it was not, is to work with your body's mechanism. The origin of fear is a bodily response. The times that you are traumatized, you will replay fear over and over again, playing scenario after scenario after scenario, allowing your anxiety to build and repeat to such a level that you would hope you would have a breakthrough. A great fear breakthrough, where the anxious pattern which replays and replays and replays starts to pop open. This is the hope of the human being with anxiety, but the reality of the human being with anxiety is the anxiety creates such a fear of its own return that the human is afraid to walk across hot coals, as it were. Instead, they would rather live in fear for 20 years of walking across hot coals because they have become so comfortable with the pattern. They are safe at a certain point within their own anxiety, and when they are in that space, they will do everything they can to manage the equilibrium, to keep everything in the external and internal environments the same, for they do not want the anxiety to amplify. The problem is, if the anxiety does not amplify or dissipate, it just remains horizontally in the body. So those with anxiety issues need to focus on calming the body so that the trauma pattern stops playing on repeat, or exploding the pattern of fear. Now, we would not advise this exploding to people who have chronic experiences with anxiety or those who are not experienced in what we call the understanding that you are a soul as much as you are a human. And those of you who understand this will have already undergone various exercises and instructions on your planet that help you get back in touch with how to move your energy beyond the human construct. But for those of you who are willing and ready to dive in, let's look at that right now. What would your greatest human fear be? And remember, fears are always human. They are seen through the translation of the human if they can be interpreted by the mind. The energy of soul does not feel fear. It feels adrenaline, it feels movement, and it feels impending something. But the energy of human, when it feels that movement, usually interprets the worst-case scenario and pulls back. It is a rare human that pushes through or upwards when they feel that momentum in themselves. We are not saying this is the absolute way all of you must go, but we are asking you to consider for a second, how many times have you pulled back in fear versus how many times you have leapt through that fear? Most of you will be honest with yourselves and recognize 90% of the time you have pulled back with the fear. 10% of the time, and perhaps more recently because you are getting more practiced at it and the world is more receptive of you doing this now, you will see you are able to leap through these fear windows. Fear windows are opportunities for soul growth. This is controversial, for if someone has a terrible human experience, such as the loss of a child, it would be seen as inhuman or cold by most of the humans on your planet to see this as a soul growth opportunity. The problem is, if you just sit in judgment of anything that occurs to you on planet Earth and pull back from it, you will forever live in fear and contraction. You can have human grief or human loss about a loved one that you have lost. But you must also have a wider perspective as to what your soul has just experienced in this journey, as much as you're human. This is vital for those of you wishing to awaken more and more into enlightenment. Enlightenment being that state of light, peace, love, and spaciousness that can be held in and around the body's signature energy field for as long as possible. Many of you are attempting to stabilize this awakening in your life right now. You are attempting to give yourself more and more spaciousness on a daily basis. So this fear dance will be coming up for each of you in your daily lives as a result. For fear is the underlying emotion across many of your difficult emotions. Fear is underneath low self-esteem. Fear is underneath depression. Fear is underneath the idea that you could be successful or a failure. Essentially, wherever there is contraction of you feeling as open or as bright as you can, fear is at the base of all of it. It will sometimes be very important for you to focus not on the fear, and instead, for example, on the low self-esteem, because part of your awakening around low self-esteem is that understanding it on a mind level will allow you to step out of it fully and also be an educator to others when you speak to them about self-esteem in the future, for you will have mentally understood it. Remembering that most people on Earth at this time still access everything through the mind. Breathe for a second. When you are speaking of enlightenment and awakening, you are always addressing fear. Fear is a little like the orbit line or gravity belt around your planet. These are not words you would usually associate, but these are words we are using to describe this, for it is important that what we are saying is understood. When you get bogged down in scientific terms or mental detail, as much as that can be helpful to all of the academic side of those people who are needing to see the proof of things, it is unfortunately man-created. Therefore, it does not allow you to get back in touch with universal life and light. It is often shown as the highest echelon of human understanding. But remember, human understanding is only the top of the Earth's gravity field. It does not extend into the universal understanding that the soul has access to. So, take a moment to sit with what it is we are speaking of. You remember it and understand it from times before, lifetimes. Feel into the possibility of the lack of fear in your life, the lack of gravity belt, the lack of orbit line. Many of you will immediately think of people in your lives as you open to this, the people you are aligned with, the people whose fear you are also aligned with. Or if there is a relative or a friend or a partner in your life, and they are somebody you interact with regularly, you have a fear, shall we say, connection with this person, as much as you have a love connection and an openness connection and any other connection you would care to name. So for many, the attachment to and dependency on other human beings in their lives is the great challenge when standing at the edge of the cliff where you would dive into everything without fear, that you would dive into the width of the universe. Just take a moment to imagine that. If each of you were right now placed in an environment where there were no other human beings, and you were free, so you were not shut in a room, but you were on a desert island, and there was just you on this desert island in human form, and you did not see any other sign of life that inhibited you, such as what you might call a predator. This is a common name humans give to wild animals. The side of you that would open up very quickly is the side of you that would no longer have to feel the resistance of the human fear of others. The human fear of other people is what you are often pushing up against and finding the balance point between. So know this, to understand, this is often what you are feeling as much as your own. And this way, whenever you are considering a fear you may have, so for example, you are going to meet somebody for dinner and you notice you become a little more self-critical, a little more fearful before meeting them than you do before most people. Ask yourself, is this a reflection of my anticipation of what will take place at this meeting, or am I picking up on the fact that I am about to enter into an energy field engagement with somebody who has higher self-criticism and higher fear than I usually run? You will start to notice this. The thoughts that you have that you find strange, that do not tally with how you normally see yourself, whenever they are in response to thinking of or being with another person, many of you at this level of awakening will now be finding it relates to how this other person thinks of themselves. So, for example, you might be embodying their shadow. If a person who you are in front of is talking to you and you suddenly notice your own self-esteem is dropping, you are beginning to feel a little uncomfortable about yourself, and this is not normal for you. It might be that because your energy field is wide open, you are interacting with the part of them that has low self-esteem. Knowing this can help you let go of it, identify all of the time that you are changing in response to other people, and this will no longer occur if you keep your awareness high on any given moment. You will start to notice that there are all sorts of energy exchanges going on in every moment with others. Give yourself time to stop for a second and be aware of what is moving inside you. Are there feelings? Are there thoughts? Now, as a final piece from us today, take a moment to think of something you would greatly desire in your life, but it seems like a challenging desire. It seems unattainable to you, or perhaps not unattainable, but it might take some time or some energy to create this circumstance or event you are seeing. See if you can find the fear in this event you are unsure you could make manifest or unsure you could make manifest with ease. For there is fear there. There is fear in the energy of that focus. So even, and often especially, in areas that you are trying to move forward with and have openings in your life around, there will be fear as you start to march toward. The reason so many people cannot manifest what they are trying to manifest is they do not stay aware of their energy once they have made an intention. They do not see how there are certain choices they get given on a given day that can open or close them down. This is important to know. So this desire you are focusing on, this energy you wish to bring into your life, what is it that this is going to bring to you or give to you? Now you have identified what it could bring to you or give to you. Now again look at the fear and understand that there is a fear of being brought that in your life. And recognize, as simple as it is, as has been established in this recording, just go into your body, breathe your way through it. It can be very quick for those of you who are already awake and used to moving energy. Those of you who are new to this, if you are having emotional reactions, do not be alarmed. It is just that the body is being given an opening to clear something that it is not usually able to clear. And it will need to do this over and over again. So some of you may wish to focus your energy on this exercise regularly until the tears stop and the smiling begins and the spaciousness and the calm and the joy starts to come into you. Good. You just opened to fear. And in opening to fear, fear didn't kill you. Instead, fear released you. Fear is a contracted state. That is why it does not feel comfortable to you, for all of you feel more vulnerable in the world when you are contracted. Learning to allow fear to open in your body, to not be as electric, to let those currents move up and down, that is important. And once you start to do that, you are no longer imprisoned by fear when it comes along. It instead becomes part of the ride and the experience, and you learn how to use it in a way that is a little more soul-directed and a little less human-patterned. Good. In peace and in love to all of you. Hi everybody. So those of you who've heard my work before or have heard other recordings of mine will have heard me talk about my own personal many times in my work and still to this day how I will recognize fear will be a part of my stepping forward. I will have a hesitation about something or I will feel slightly nervous about something, but I will still push through it anyway. There's a big difference between being terrified and being scared. And if I'm scared, I always step forward. If I'm terrified, I investigate the terror. I see if I can move the terror, or if the terror is very, very strong, I trust that it means I'm not meant to go there right now, but that my awareness of it will bring me back to that same point and that same situation at a later time when I will have less terror and I'll be able to move forward. Fear often keeps us in place, in a way. So it's important to not always villainize fear. This is why I think being asked to thank our fear was important, because our fear has done us a great service many times with its memory. But too often, people use fear of what they're told, or fear of what others will think, or fear of what is or isn't possible to stop themselves growing. And that's a real shame to see in our society. And in this day and age, it's very quickly changing, and that's true. But there are still many, many people who, at the first whiff of fear in their own body, will close down. The most interesting thing for me with working with many, many thousands of people over these last 9 years is fear is a commonality for everybody. And if I had known that before I started doing this work, I may have been a little bolder in my own life, because I often wondered if I hadn't got things figured out as well as the person who looked brave. And now I realize the person who looked brave only looked brave to me because I could smell the fear that they had to go through to be that brave. It's very exhilarating to break through in that way. This is why awakening is such an energetic experience. You have an opening in your heart. You start to laugh. You start to smile. You have an epiphany looking at the sunset. The simple things that perhaps you were missing before your sensory body came online the way it has now. With awakening, I see it very much as two kinds of awakening. People can have a mental or a spiritual awakening that does not affect their senses. So their mind can have an opening or a breakthrough around concepts of life, the universe, the soul, and they can become mentally very awake. But a sensory awakening is when your body feels all of it. It's when you start to feel more about everything, and particularly about things that you didn't used to notice. Animals, nature, silence, sunsets, things that suddenly catch your attention that you may have been distracted from before. And the distraction lives in and among us as human beings, same as the fear. It's driven by the fear. So the fear of going away from your group and awakening ahead of the mass is often a drive for people. And what I always say to that is, we're all going anyway. So it won't look the same for everybody. Not everybody is going to awaken with the same belief system. But we're at a time on Earth where awakening is rampant and people's senses and feelings are being activated. And it's having a very different effect on everybody. So that's why, while there is a lot of fear flying around, you can remember to be aware of that so that you don't ingest it or take it on. So that when you see it in another person, if you aren't able to divert their focus away from fear when you speak to them about what you're hearing them say, or if you aren't able to see them transmute it or transform it themselves just through expressing, you either have the choice to walk away or to make sure you close down your energy field to some level while you're with that person, so that you're not imbibing the energy that they want to carry around with them. It's a real choice at the moment, fear or love, and the spiritual practice of awakening and enlightenment is to keep choosing love until love becomes the only option that you return to more and more every single day. So, I hope that this energy guide has given you something. I'm not sure what it's given you because I'm just called to be the speaker of all of this in the moment while focusing my attention on those of you who are going to listen. So, much love, everybody. Here's to more fearless living for all of you and a less fear-based world for all of us. In peace and in love. Thank you.
been listening to a Lee Harris recording. For more from Lee or for more recordings, please visit www.leeharrisenergy.com.